Wow. Was that me that just did that? That?
No.
Okay. That was me. All right. Head up. All right. Good morning. Enjoying this good foggy fall day. It is good to be back in the house of the Lord. Missed you on Thursday. Rather have been here, but school carnival was decent. The kids had fun.
Tell us, brother.
Hmm?
Tell us about the school carnival.
Oh, it's a hallway of screaming kids. You can only have so much fun. Anyway, we're here to look at Mark chapter 5, verses 14 through 20. And the scripture states, "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they saw it, told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." So this morning we're going to talk about go home to thy friends. Now Jesus, he crossed the sea, I believe, specifically for this man. Here is this man that has, we don't know how many demons. It says a legion, but I'm not willing to take the devil at his word. So, more than one, I would presume. But what we do know is that this man was tormented, and tormented greatly. So anybody who ever gets the deception that the devil will somehow be your friend, I would just point to this man. This man was completely under control of hell, and look what hell did to him. It brought him into the grave. It brought him out of society. It destroyed any relationships he had. It destroyed his mind, stripped him naked, had him howling in the middle of the night and cutting himself. That's hell for you. If you ever hear different, that is a lie. There is no pact between us and the devil. Anybody who thinks different, they are under great deception. The devil sometimes will try and tell people, "Well, you know what? If you'll just live for me," that man did. Look where it got him. So here comes Jesus. Now we know that as he was crossing, a storm hit. So the disciples, being disciples, started to cry out. We went over that last week. But what is important to note is that Jesus said, any man who builds his house, if it's not built on the rock, when the storm hits, the house is going to come down. I believe that the storm came not only to teach the disciples something about Jesus, but to declare to the devil, the stronghold's coming down. He was attacking the foundation. Already, everything you set up, you are about ready to be brought down. Now, what's amazing to me about this man is the genius of God. This is a person who the entire region wanted bound. They put him in fetters and he break them. Now, I saw this happen in Iraq. It blew my mind. Absolutely blew my mind. We thought he was on drugs because that's what we're told. I now know that man had demons. He was no bigger than Trayvon, and he fought eight of us viciously, without fail, without being exhausted, and without reacting to pain, and he did things I've seen no man do. We would zip tie him, and he'd break the zip ties behind his back. Zip tied them to bars. He bent the steel bars and would break them. Had a man, my sergeant, Sergeant Seitz, kick him in the knees, had him in a chokehold. I watched this guy do a full sit-up, stand up, and grab him and throw him 10 feet. We hit him with everything we got, and that man would just look at you. I've been in some fights. I've never been scared in a fight outside of that one. When you got eight of us going on you, and you're giving it to us, you have my undivided attention. So we had our medic. He would come in, and he would dose them. We would do everything that we could to pin them down. He'd come in and he'd stick them. And then he'd run back because that man was breaking free. And on the sixth dose, he finally went unconscious. And I looked at my doc. I'm like, "Doc, why are you messing with us? Like, don't you see what he's doing? How about you give him a big boy's dose?" And he looked right at me and he said, "Perkins, that man has just taken four times the overdose." He said, "I can't explain it." I'm like, "Well, must be drugs." Nope. But as Jesus arrived, the genius of the Lord is a man that everybody wanted bound would become the one that would start preaching to them how to get free. Nobody would have picked him to be the evangelist. Nobody would have picked him to be the soul winner. Everybody would have looked at him and said, "That is a lost cause." But church, the Lord says, "It is not my will that any should perish." Which means, if you're looking at a group of people, and I don't care what it is, I don't care what they're doing, and you're saying, "I don't know if God can reach them," they're not the problem, you are. If we truly believe that it is God's will that none should perish, I understand that there are going to be people that perish. But we better preach like God wants them all. That man showed up in a condition where he would have been rejected by most churches. But not by Jesus. And that's what makes our God special. Is he's not in the business of rejecting you. We're in the business of rejecting him. When you get to the throne room, it is not God sending you away. It is God sending you to your choice. You've rejected him long before you arrived there. And I heard this week, everybody's up in arms over a new show about a serial killer, Jeffrey Dahmer, a bunch of nonsense. But what's interesting to me is that he claimed that he had come to Christ before he went. And Christians were upset by it. Really? You're upset by God's grace, huh? How tragic would it be for serial killers to walk the streets of gold and preachers to go into the flames? We're here to show God's grace because we've received it. One of the worst things that you can do as a witness is think that you've only been forgiven little. Those who have been forgiven little love little. I didn't really need God. I just needed him a little bit. Well, I needed him a lot. I have no illusions about who I was, and I have no illusions of who I would be again. That is me at my default setting. And what's bad about it is now that I'm walking with God, it would only get worse. Because Judas, when he walked with the Lord, at the end it said, and Satan entered into his heart, which means Satan wasn't there to begin with. It is dangerous for us to want to get into spiritual dimensions and then refuse for God to have us, because Satan will gladly take you. And he did with Judas. And he will with each and every one of us. And for this world, he has them. When I look at this world, I don't see the news as something that I get aggravated over. I see it as the world's prayer list. This is what they are dealing with. This is what they are struggling with. This is what they need prayer for. Nothing more. They don't come to church, so they complain to the news. Fine. I can see a prayer request. When I look at things such as we had the Black Lives Matter, I don't get stuck on what happened. I get stuck at the root. I see that the people are requiring justice. Now, take away the issue. The root of it is they're sick of injustice, which means they're really hungering for Jesus because he's just. When I see people wearing masks, what I see is a spirit of fear. And I do not fault them for being afraid, because perfect love casteth out fear. How are you going to look as a church member and say, why don't you get rid of fear without Jesus? Scripturally, that's not possible. That's why God told him, I know you want to come, but I really need you to stay. When I first converted and I had God encounter me in my apartment, one of my first prayers is, Lord, will you please kill me? I didn't want to be here anymore. I didn't. Now that I know God's real, don't leave me here. I don't want to stay. Hey, I went in the water. I got his name. I spoke in tongues. Can we go? And as much as I know God understands that sentiment, he said, no, you've got to stay. Because people need a witness. Now, the thing about the word witness is the word is martus. It's the word that we get martyr from. Which means you cannot be a witness if you haven't died to yourself. That is impossible. Paul says, I die daily. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Any man who loses his life for my sake will find it. You can't be living your will and be a witness of him. You'll only be a witness of you. And I'll only be a witness of me. And the thing that we have to understand about being a witness and declaring God is the one person, the one people God didn't want to hear from was hell. The demon said, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. And he said, be quiet. Because the last thing God wants is hell testifying of him. Because have you ever noticed what happens when a false preacher is caught in his sin? It is not his name that gets dragged through the mud. It's Jesus. Everywhere. News, forums, doesn't matter. See? See? God's not real. He doesn't want hell's witness. You can't be walking in hell talking about the Lord. You really can't. I can't either. That is going to bring more harm than it ever will good. When we have to stay, we are staying because God is looking for a breach point. The army has the ability to do something that the Marine Corps cannot. They have the ability to hold a position. The Marines do not have the assets. They do not have the manpower to hold a position, which is why airborne comes from the Army, which is why their artillery is so much larger than the Marines, and their tanks are so much larger than the Marines, because when they open an LZ, they intend to hold it. The Marines aren't like that. In urban combat, the only building that's secure is the one that I'm in. We don't have the manpower. But church, it's not like that with heaven. His armies cannot be numbered. You see, when the devil took 1/3 of the angels, your logical mind says, oh, well, there's 2/3 left. That's on the assumption that our Creator stopped creating. Don't add to Scripture. 1/3 went. That does not mean 2/3 are still there. Heaven's army multiplied. Hell's army can't. The only thing that it can do is come for us, but what God says is, I want a position in a city. I want a position in a workplace. I want a place of light for a witness. Go home to your friends. I want you to show them how good I am. And when we do that, we are giving God permission to do His will. I understand about invitation. Invite people to church. My problem with inviting people to church, and hear me out before all the stones raise up, is I have noticed a trend, and I have been guilty of it. Hey, would you like to come to church? Oh, no, thank you. Okay. That conversation is not over. It might be over between you and me, but it should not be over between him and I. See, when the widow's son died, they bore him on their shoulders. And Jesus touched what they were bearing to resurrect that which was dead. You are dead in your trespasses. They haven't come to life yet. This isn't about us sitting here inviting. This is about us presenting them to the throne. I believe in inviting, but I believe it holds a lesser position than praying for those people. If they say no, that's what man has said. My God says, I do not will that any would perish. Prayer is an invitation for God to do His will. He cannot force Himself against human will. So what He does is He shows His church, this is what I want you to pray for. And yet the human in us doesn't want to pray. The human, if left unchecked, will want to gossip. That's not what we're here to do. We're not here to talk to each other about our problems. We're here to talk to Him about the problems. If I see it in you and you see it in me, it is so that I don't see it in myself, and I'm expecting you to pray as I would pray for you. If they're not coming to church, that is a prayer request. Sometimes we're going to have to bear the weight of dead bodies. Not everybody is a cripple wanting to get to Jesus. Some people are so dead in their trespasses, you're just going to have to bear the dead weight. But what we're waiting on is for a touch from God that raises them up. That demoniac, nobody would have expected what happened with him. And yet, there he was. You notice how nobody was afraid when he was full of demons, but all of a sudden they became afraid when he was put in his right mind? Because we're comfortable with people being bound. We're not comfortable with them being delivered. Oh, well, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that, I'm that. I had a friend walk into an AA meeting and said, I am no longer an alcoholic, and they kicked him out. No, you're an alcoholic. No, I'm not. I was. I'm not. No, you still are. No, I'm not. Jesus delivered me. Well, that can't happen. That's a prayer request. Church, we are supposed to be out there sowing seed. But how do you sow seed? How? A lot of people will want to just say, well, you just throw it. You just scatter it as much as you can. Just throw as much scripture. Well, if that were true, Catholic Church would have a lot of miracles going on. They use scripture too. They don't have sound doctrine. But the seed only produces what it's capable of producing once it finds soil that will nurture it. It's not because the seed lacks power. It's not because the seed and the word lacks potential. It's because it needs a place to grow. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Thy word have I hid in thy heart. But for us to cast seed, the Lord says of us, you'll be like a tree planted in the house of the Lord, planted by the rivers of water, that your leaf will not wither. You will bear fruit in his season. But Genesis says, the tree's bearing fruit whose seed is in itself. You want to give people seed, you have to give them fruit. And it is the fruit of the Spirit that is going to make people want what you have. Taste and see that the Lord is good. To the point that Jesus said, if you don't eat of me, you have no part in me. And he is the first from the dead. He is the first fruits of our resurrection. We need to bear fruit of the Spirit. I understand sound doctrine. I believe in sound doctrine. I believe in oneness. I believe in holiness. I don't care what I look like for you guys. I really don't. I don't say that to be dismissive. I don't say that to be rude. I believe in holiness to protect my relationship and what God is trying to impart. I will not let a thief actively have at my treasure. And the worst part is that when I do, not only am I failing me, I am failing my entire family, and I am no longer guarding my kids. No. I believe in this. I believe in holiness with all my heart. But church, I believe that we have to bear fruit for people to come in. Because Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. When he came to the fig tree, he said, hey, that's a fig tree. It's got the leaves like a fig tree, bark like a fig tree, looks like a fig tree, no fruit. And he cursed that thing to death. Because the worst thing that we can have is the appearance of fruit bearing with no fruit. To look like the real church and not bear the fruit of the Spirit as the real church. And I'm not saying that about this congregation. Please don't. Please don't take that in that direction. I am saying the criticalness of why we're here. Is anybody questioning that we are in the end of days? Is anybody questioning that darkness is running amok across the face of this earth? What people want is the fruit of the Spirit. They're looking for peace and they cannot find it. They're looking for hope and they cannot find it. That's why I believe socialism is taking off as a doctrine in our world, because it was founded as the belief that you can create a utopia without God. This is the Tower of Babel all over again. Oh, I can get to heaven without him. We can do it ourselves. Now, there is a way that seems right to a man whose ways end in death. But church, if we'll see the destructiveness of that, how much more so is it for us to take this precious gospel and then run it by our ideas? To run it by our will and what I think should go in my life. The demoniac from Gadara teaches me, you don't get a say in your calling. Lord, I want to go. No, you have to stay. I have heard so many people, oh, you know, no, I really want to go over there. Lord's opening a door for you. No. I really want to go over there. Is that what the Lord told you? No, it's what I want. Mm-mm. This man wanted to go. Lord told him to stay. We are here for this season. We are here so that people can taste and see. And church, if we're not going to be here for people, what we are is Job's friends. You know, there are just some people in the Bible that I will mercilessly critique. Jezebel is one of them. There is nothing nice I will ever say about that woman. Ever. And these three. Boy, oh boy. But might I say that in Job 2:12, when it says, and when they lifted up their eyes afar off and they knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. But it says that they sat there for a week and said nothing. Oh, out of respect. But you know, I don't want to hear from a man that hasn't been praying. You don't have to talk to me. I know why Job's not talking. Job's going through it. What's your excuse? If you ain't there to pray for me, you don't need to be there. Because church, look at his friends. Take a good hard look. In Job 19, verse 1 through 2, Then Job answered and said, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? The only thing that you brought was more misery. You haven't encouraged this man. You haven't loved this man. You haven't put one healing word into his spirit. You have just absolutely beaten him down. But look, in the end, God says, you go have Job sacrifice, or I'm going to come against you. I won't even hear from you. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from him. You did not speak well of me. You know that the quickest way to have your prayer stop entering his throne is to presume you know and to tell people I heard when you haven't even been talking to him. It's absolutely scary. You're putting yourself in the path of destruction. Because the devil came against Job. It's God that's about ready to come against them. And if it was that bad for Job at the devil, I don't even want to know what those men are about ready to get. I'm glad that they were at least humble enough to ask. But church, when we look at all of this, we have to understand why we're here. You're here because the world needs Jesus. That's it. This world is fallen. This world is fallen, and we are the world's petition. It is my personal belief that COVID was as deadly as they say. They had all the data. They looked at everything. It should have been as deadly as they said it was. But they'd never factored in a prayer church. That is my personal belief. Everybody was touting it. This is what's going to happen. CDC, this is what's going to happen. Well, of course what's going to happen. This is what you did. But you cannot discount a praying church. And church, that should give us a little bit of encouragement. That when death is declaring his voice and triumph over the earth, the church is able to say, not yet. Not yet. We're still here. We're still here. Have you ever noticed that the moment you're about ready to get an answer, things start coming against you? The blind man sitting by the side of the road, Bartimaeus. Oh, what's going on? Jesus is coming. He starts crying out. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What comes against him? Be quiet. Do you realize that when your prayer life is being pushed against to be quiet, your answer is about ready to arrive? But, church, we're here to pray for them. One of the tactics the enemy uses on me, and to effect, mind you, is that when I start really praying for others, all of a sudden all hell breaks loose so that I only pray about what's happening to me. I have to shift my resources. But really, I should see it as confirmation that the strongholds are being attacked. The devil doesn't mind that I keep praying for me. He's already lost me. He minds when I'm praying for them. I've been under attack lately, but I've also been praying for my brother heavily. I've also been praying for my family. I've been praying for others. So of course the things that have them bound are going to be hitting me. They're not afraid of them. They're afraid of one who has his ear, who can walk into his throne room. Church, we're here to bring people in. But before we can bring people in, he says, go home. They meet house to house. This is why Bible study is so powerful. Because you now have the Holy Ghost in you, and you, for the first time, are bringing God into a home that's never had it. See, if all we ever care about is getting them in the seats, you then have to teach them, you have to take this home. But if you first go to their home, it's easy to teach them to come here. Because if I can bring Jesus into your home, he's going to bring you here. You're going to feel the unction in the pool. I need to be in church. And the problem is with that, when it's a church-based walk, church is the worst part about this walk. Listen, I love you guys. You're the hardest thing about Jesus. And I'm included in that. I'm not exempting me. I am the hardest part about your walk. Jesus is not difficult to tolerate. I am. And if I don't have a walk with him, this becomes impossible. It is of no effect for us to teach them to walk with the church when they're supposed to be walking with Christ. They have to first learn to walk with him before they can learn to walk with us. Because walking with him is going to give them the love and mercy and grace to forgive me when I am not perfect. And it's going to give me the love and mercy and grace to forgive you when I'm not perfect. But if I make this the only place I ever have an interaction with Jesus, you are giving the power into man's hand. Jesus said, I came to preach to the captives. He never went into a prison, and yet he set a demoniac free. But he also set a woman who was set at his feet, completely naked, by a bunch of Pharisees. Because people can be captive by religion. The law without love is the power of sin. And it's what the devil cites against you. They broke this. They did this. I don't know why he never cites it against himself. Because I know it says if you broke one, you broke them all. But I'm pretty sure he broke them all. There are a few in there that are broken by automation through me. He did everything. And yet, he has no qualms about accusing us. But church, this world, you can see the spirit of Satan with its accusations. Can't you see it? We call it cancel culture. It's just people accusing each other of what they have done. Oh, that was 20 years ago, but I remember. Whose heart do you think that is? The God of this world. They need to know They need to know, not that what you did was okay, but that what you did can be forgiven. That His grace is greater than the devil's accusation. His grace is greater than your condemnation. That's why we're here. We are supposed to be a light unto the world. But Jesus is the light of men. I contain it within me. But He says, don't hide this light in a bushel. Which means I'm the bushel. My flesh is the thing that will prevent people from seeing the light. Now, church, when I said we have to be fruitful, one of my favorite stories as a kid was Jack and the Beanstalk Bean. Everybody thought that Jack was a fool. Everybody thought, Jack, oh my goodness, how could you give that away for some beans? How could you do that? But what happened the second he planted them? What he got access to was something nobody else on the earth had access to. It brought him up into the heavens. It brought him right to treasure, and he found someone who was bigger than himself and on anything on this earth. Now, I understand that the giant was evil. But church, when we have this seed, what you have access to and what can grow grows all the way to the throne room. All the way to the throne room. But the worst thing that we could ever do is sit here with our seeds and tell people, would you like some seeds too? I'm telling you, if one of us ever have enough faith to plant these things, I've heard it will bear some fruit. Well, everybody's going to think, you know what? I'm not interested if all you have in your hand is seeds too. But if you can show them the things that God can do, because church, everything that the world is going through right now is prime opportunity to witness. They are afraid. You shouldn't be. You know the end. Every test that you ever have, you have an open book. You're allowed to have an open book test. I have never had God chastise me, not one time, for flipping through to find the answer. Never. He's never called me a cheater. But they have nothing. Now, church, we have to get a hold of this and we have to invite. But we have to invite them to Him. When the prodigal son, and I know, but when the prodigal finally came to himself, he met a father and he met a brother. Now the father displays the love of God because the father ran to him, hugged him, and kissed him before "I'm sorry" ever left his lips. Nobody should ever sit in this house feeling condemned when the father's here. But the brother, because he didn't even have a heart to look, he didn't even have a heart to welcome. He wouldn't even call him the brother anymore. This son of yours. Well, let me tell you something, son. That ain't the father's heart. And ours? Ours is supposed to be that of the bride. And it says the spirit and the bride say, come. The bride's not supposed to have an independent voice. The bride is supposed to be an echo of her husband. That we share the same heart. I don't care what people have done. If God can reach a demoniac, why can't he reach them? If God can reach me, why can't he reach you? But we have to have the mentality. We have to have the mentality. God sent us here because he wants them to come home. And he said, go home and be with your friends. What friends? That man wouldn't have had any friends. And what kind of humility do you think it's going to take to show your face after all that you've done? You're going to have to suck up some pride. Sharing your testimony is going to take some pride being lowered every time. But that doesn't matter because he's supposed to increase, we're supposed to decrease. It's his name we're lifting up, not ours. As much as I love Sterling Pentecostal, we're not doing Sterling. We're here because Jesus wants Sterling. It's not the name of us, it's the name of him that matters. And he said, we're here. Go and tell them to come home. Amen. All right. So we're gonna take a break, get some coffee.